welcome to an uplifting word broadcast. We want to share with you today, giving up or giving over. Giving up or giving over. About 800 years before Jesus was born, a prophet named Elijah lived in Israel. He was threatened by Queen Jezebel with death. And instead of standing up to her, he ran for his life. He ran southward toward what we call the Sinai Peninsula. And while there in a cave, the Lord spoke to Elijah. The Lord said, "What are you doing here, Elijah? Why aren't you back in Israel doing the work I've given you? Why aren't you standing up for righteousness? What are you doing here, Elijah?" And I want you to listen to Elijah's response to God's question. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verse number 10. Here the Bible says,
"He replied, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites had rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too.'"
Elijah responded to the Lord's question, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah said, "God, your people have forsaken you. They have torn down your altars. They have slain your prophets. They have gone into idol worship." Basically, Elijah was giving up on those he loved. He was giving up on Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the people of the covenant. Elijah was so discouraged by his people's behavior that he just didn't believe there was any possibility for their rescue and return to the Lord. Well, you know, sometimes we feel the same way about our families, about our country, about our churches. We want just to give up on them, not pray for them anymore, not have any more hope for them. But let me share with you what giving up does to us. Elijah gave up on the people he loved, and when he gave up on them, God was removed from the picture. He could not envision God saving his people, rescuing them from their idol worship, from their godlessness, from the rejection of the law. Giving up blinded Elijah to God's presence. And my brother, my sister, have you given up on those you love? Have you given up on hoping for their salvation? Have you quit praying for our wicked country? Well, if you have, you see, you are blinded to God's presence. I want to show you what happened whenever Elijah gave up on his people's salvation. How blinded he became to God's presence. 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's read verses 11, 12, and 13.
"The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper."
Here the Lord demonstrated his presence, his reality, and his power. He sent an earthquake which shook the earth that Elijah stood on. He sent a mighty wind which was so powerful it shattered the boulders and the rocks. He sent a consuming fire, intense forest fire. And yet Elijah held on to his despair. God demonstrated himself, his power, his presence. But Elijah was so, I guess we could say, down in the dumps that he could not envision God doing anything for backslidden Israel. But in reality, God never left the picture. He never left Israel. He never forsook the earth. So, brother, sister, God's still working for your family's salvation. He's still working for a godly America. Let's look at what happened in 1 Kings 19, verse number 18. After demonstrating all his power and his glory to Elijah, notice what he said to this discouraged prophet. It declares,
"Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and all whose mouths have not kissed him."
God said, "Elijah, you've given up, but I have reserved for myself 7,000 faithful people among the Israelis." So you see, there was really no reason to give up, but Elijah did it anyway. And giving up blinded Elijah to God's presence. It does the same thing to you and me. Well, giving up on the salvation of our loved ones or the rescue of our country drains us of faith in God and hope for people's salvation. We don't want to let that happen to us. We don't want to let our faith in God and our hope for other salvation be drained away. No, we don't want to give up on those we love. We want to give them over to the Lord. Notice the difference between giving up and giving over. Whenever we give over those we love to the Lord, giving over those we love to the Lord keeps God in the picture, keeps God in our awareness. You see, Jesus faced the end of his time on earth in a human body. He was coming nearer and nearer to his departure back to Father, and he knew he was going to leave his apostles, his disciples, not only of that century, but of all the centuries. He was going to leave us and go back to heaven. But Jesus never gave up on us. He gave us over to his heavenly Father's ability. You see, whenever you give over to the Lord those you love, then you will be full of faith because you'll be looking at God's ability. Listen to the words of Jesus, please. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse number 29.
"My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand."
You see who Jesus was looking at? He was looking at Father. He wasn't looking at stumbling Peter. He wasn't looking at the apostles who were constantly arguing about who's the greatest. No, his eyes were on Father. And so he said, "Father, I'm going to give these, my followers, to you." Listen to the words of Jesus. John's Gospel, chapter 17, verse number 11.
"I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one."
He said, "Holy Father, I'm coming to you, but please protect them. Protect them, shield them, keep them, Lord, in my absence." Same chapter, John 17, verse 15.
"My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one."
Jesus prayed to Father and said, "Father, don't take my people out of the world. The world needs them. They are the light of the world. But Father," he said, "protect them." So my brother, sister, whenever we give over to the Lord those we love, whenever we continue praying for our wicked nation, we are basically saying, "God, our eyes are on you. We're going to concentrate on your ability." One more verse from John 17. Let's read verse 20.
"My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message."
Jesus prayed for all his people through all the centuries. So he prayed for you and me. He prayed that, "Father, protect us." And you know what? His faith in God's ability gave him a heart that was willing to leave the world and return to heaven. Now let's look at the Apostle Paul. You see, the Apostle Paul was basically the spiritual father of thousands, maybe even millions of people in the Roman Empire. And Paul, when he would go to a town, preach the gospel, establish a church, then he would have to walk away from that church and go to the next town. But what he did, he gave people over to the Lord. He never gave up on them. You know, Paul wrote about the pressure of concern he felt for all the new Christians who were coming into the faith. Let's read Paul's words. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 28. Notice his feelings of concern, it says.
Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches.
I face daily the pressure. He felt the pressure of concern for all the churches that he loved and cared about. Now let's listen to Colossians chapter 2, verse number 1, where again the apostle's writing.
I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally.
He was struggling not only for those he had led to Jesus, but also for those who he had never met. He was concerned for Christians whether he had led them to Jesus or not. So here he says, I'm struggling for you who have not met me, for you who have not seen me face to face or heard my ministry in person. So the pressure of concern for all these believers weighed upon his shoulders. How did he handle this pressure? My brother, sister, how are you handling the pressure you feel for the salvation of your loved ones, for your fellow employees? What are you doing with this pressure? Well, I'm going to take you to the Word again, and let's see how Paul found release from this unrelenting pressure that could have crushed him, this pressure for the welfare of all those who love Jesus. The Corinthian church was Paul's special church. A special relationship between him and the Corinthians existed because he had mentored them in the faith. After leaving Corinth, he received disturbing news of all the problems in the Corinthian church. But I want you to notice what he wrote. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 8.
He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ.
You see? His eyes were on God. He said, the Lord will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had eyes and a mind only for the Lord. So, brother, sister, instead of worrying about the salvation of those you pray for, instead of feeling worry and pressure to go witness and win them to Jesus, relax. Memorize these verses. He will keep you strong to the end. The Lord will do the work that you cannot do. This is in the 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 9, a short verse of great encouragement.
God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful.
God was the focus of Paul's mind, his thoughts, his meditation. God, he said, who called you into fellowship with Jesus, is faithful. God is faithful. So, brother, sister, God faithfully listens to all your intercession for America, for the president, for the government. God listens when you pray for your neighbor's salvation, or for your church, or for your pastor. So look up. Don't be looking down. Don't be discouraged. So Paul found release from the pressure he felt for other salvation by turning his face upward. The Philippian church was another special church to Paul. He had led these people to Jesus. He had founded the church. But during his absence, they were experiencing great persecution. But look at what he wrote. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6.
Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus.
Paul stated his confidence for these suffering Christians. He said, my confidence is that he, that the Lord, will keep you strong to the end. Brother, sister, our job is to keep our face turned upward. You see, Elijah the prophet, he was looking downward. He had forgotten about the Lord. All he could think about was the ruined altars in Israel. All he could remember were the prophets who were slain with the sword, the godlessness of his people, the rejection of God's law. That's all he could think about. So he was down in the dumps. But we're not going to let that happen to us. We're going to give over to the Lord those we pray for and be encouraged. Listen to these words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Here the Bible says,
the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it.
Isn't that grand? Paul said, oh, the Lord, the one, the God who called you into salvation, he is faithful. He will do it. He will do his work in your life. He will complete your purposes. Listen to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 3.
But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one.
So, brother, sister, you can say the same thing about your family. The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen them. He will protect them from the evil one and bring them into salvation. So all our worry is vain. All our fears are useless. Give them over to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I surrender them to you. I surrender my family to you. I surrender my country to you. I take my hands off. And I trust you in your faithfulness. For you see, God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So, giving over to the Lord those we pray for keeps God in our consciousness. And it fills us with faith in him and hope for others. Well, let me share with you how you can give over to the Lord those you are praying for. We give people over to the Lord by giving up on our own plans. So often we pray to God but devise our own plans to bring people to Jesus. It doesn't work that way. If you give somebody over to the Lord, you have to quit devising your own plans. We give them over to the Lord. We do not give them over to our own plans. And God's love for people will bring them to Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. So, brother, sister, put your family's name in there. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son for the Smiths' salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son for America's redemption. We want to give up on our own plans. In fact, we want to strive to quit devising our plans. Your plans are not what you want to concentrate on. We want to concentrate only on God's ability to bring people to himself. I have heard Christians who prayed for their families and who so desperately wanted their loved ones to come to Jesus. And I've heard them say, here's what I'm going to do. Here's how I'm going to bring them to Jesus. Here's my plan of placing Christian books around my house, and maybe they'll lift them up and read them and get saved, or maybe they'll come to church, or maybe they'll come to our special services. No, brother, sister. Quit devising plans and start exerting faith in God's ability. Could you read with us 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 25.
For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength.
There it is. The foolishness of God, if there is any foolishness in him, is wiser than all our plans, is what it's saying. And God's weakness is stronger than all our ideas. So our plans, we can put them on the shelf and start meditating in the Word. Instead of filling our thoughts with our ideas, we want to fill our thoughts with God's Word, His promises, His desire to bring people to Jesus. Listen to these words, Revelation 7, verse 13, verse 14.
Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb."
Here John saw this huge mass of people in the New Jerusalem. The angel asked John, "Where did these come from?" John said, "You know." Basically, he was saying, "I don't know, but you know, Mr. Angel." And then the angel answered, "These are they who have come out of great tribulation and washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb." Basically, the angel was saying, God brought them to heaven. So, brother, sister, just relax. Don't devise any more plans. Just praise. So, giving over those we love keeps our eyes on God. It helps us relax and quit trying to plan the way they're going to come to Him. Giving over those we love to the Lord fills us with faith in God. But there's something else that giving over does for us. When we give over others to the Lord, we start ignoring people's actions. So often we are discouraged from believing for people's salvation because we look at the way they behave, the way they live. And whenever you do that, you're going to be hopeless. That's why Elijah felt so absolutely despondent. He said, "God, the people of Israel have torn down your altars, killed your prophets, have forsaken you." He only saw what people had done. And whenever we do that, then it's easy to be discouraged. The young man named Saul in the early part of the book of Acts hated Jesus, hated Christians, and hated the church. He persecuted the church to no end. He wanted to destroy it. And none of the Christians believed Saul could ever be saved. Listen to this. Acts, please, chapter 9, verse number 26. Here it says,
"When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple."
Here Barnabas brought Saul to the church and said, "Hey, this man has given his life to Jesus. Jesus appeared to him." And yet this verse says that the people in the church were so convinced that Saul could never be saved, they were reluctant to receive him into fellowship. They saw only his behavior. They could not believe in his salvation. But whenever you give people over to God, then you can believe in their salvation because you're believing in the Lord and ignoring their behavior. People's behavior never threatens God's power. Your loved one's behavior never threatens God's power. Jesus declared in Luke 1:37, "All things are possible with God." So, brother, sister, we want to give people over to the Lord by concentrating only on Him and keeping our eyes focused only on what He can do. But there's something else that's so important. We give people over to the Lord by replacing begging with praising. We must replace our incessant begging for their salvation with praise for God. Intercession is not frantic begging. Intercession is not anxiety-driven begging. Intercession is pleading with God for their salvation. But then when we have done our pleading, we start praising. In fact, it's most important for you and me to be praising God for their salvation when it looks like their salvation is further away than ever. Praise demonstrates our faith in God. So lift up those weary hands. Lift up that heavy heart. And fill your mouth with praise for the salvation of those you have prayed for. Lift up your voice with praise for those you've witnessed to. Don't think your witness accomplished nothing. Don't be feeling that you are a failure as a witness. Praise God. And God will go to work. He will take the seed you planted and bring that person to Jesus. We started this message with looking at Elijah down in the dumps because of Israel's horrible rejection of God. But I want you to look at an astonishing miracle that's going to take place in Israel. Here we're going to read about the future of the people that so discouraged Mr. Elijah. Elijah could not believe in their salvation, but look at what God is going to do. Romans chapter 11, verse 26.
So all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob.
There is coming a day, the scripture declares, when all Israel will be saved, when all Israel will give their lives to Jesus, and they will start living godly. So, brother, sister, Elijah was discouraged over nothing. Brother, sister, lift up those eyes to God. Don't give up. Give over those people for whose salvation you are believing. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for showing your mighty power to us who praise you for the salvation of those who don't know you. In your glorious name, Jesus, amen.